Hare Krishna Radha Kala Chanji Dham Jai. It is Wednesday, May 10th, the year 2017, and we're just coming off of celebrating Nrisimha Chaturdasi, and we've had the mercy of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami with us. So we're very, very fortunate. We're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text 16. But before we do that, we always like the purification and the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So we'll sing a little bit. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivana Dari, 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Natira Vanacha, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Munatira Vanacha, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjan, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Radhe. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Radhe. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Radhe. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo, Nitai Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Haribo, Hare Krishna. And as we were saying earlier this morning, we're reading from Canto 11, Chapter 14, Text 16. And Lord Krishna is explaining the yoga system. So before we read Text 16... Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Anganyana Timurandasya. Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Swapadandikam. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my most humble, my most respectful obeisances to my spiritual master. Ah, that sounds better. Okay, so reading text 16. Nirapeksha munim samtam nirvaram samadarsanam anuvrajama aham nityam poyoyeti angarin renubihi. Nirapeksha munim santam nirvairam samadarsanam anuvrajama aham nityam puyati angari renubi. Nirapeksha munim santam nirvairam samadasanam anuvrajama aham nityam puyeti angari renubihi. Does anyone want to repeat that? Nirapeksham muni samtam nirvanam samadarsanam anuvrajamam aham nidyam puyeti angari urenubi. I'm sorry, someone did wipe off some of the shloka. So yeah, it's okay. We were in much celebration yesterday. Very exciting time. It is always very sweet when His Holiness Jayapataka Swami comes. I always think when I see him, he puts all excuses to shame and he goes about the business or the service of serving his spiritual master regardless of any illusion that it may be a challenge for him. He's very special spirit soul. Okay, so we'll read the meanings. Nirapeksham, without personal desire. Munim, always thinking of assisting me in my pastimes. Santam, peaceful. Nivaram, not inimical to anyone. Samadarsanam, equal consciousness everywhere. Anuvrajami, follow. Aham, I. Nityam, always. Puya, I may be purified. I will purify the universe within me. Iti, thus. Angari, of the lotus feet. Renubi, by the dust. And the translation is with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. So again, with the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. The purport. Just as the devotees always follow the footsteps of Lord Krishna, similarly, Lord Krishna, being a devotee of his devotees, follows the footsteps of his devotees. A pure servitor of the Lord is always meditating on the pastimes of the Lord and considering how to assist the Lord in his mission. All the material universes are situated in Sri Krishna's body, as demonstrated to Arjuna, Mother Yashoda, and others. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there is no question of impurity in the Lord. Still, the Lord desires to purify the universes situated within him by taking the dust of the lotus feet of his pure devotees. Without the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, it is not possible to engage in pure devotional service, without which one cannot directly experience transcendental bliss. Lord Krishna thought, I have established this strict rule that one can enjoy my transcendental bliss only through devotional service obtained from the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. Since I also desire to experience my own bliss, I will observe the standard procedure and accept the dust of my devotees' feet. Srila Madhvacharya points out that Lord Krishna follows the footsteps of his devotees in order to purify them. As the Lord walks along behind his pure devotees, the wind blows the dust of the Lord's feet in the front of his devotees, who then become purified by contact with such transcendental dust. One should not foolishly look for material logic in these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. It is simply a question of love between the Lord and his devotees. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Ati Namane Namaste Krishna Stepmane Shri Guru Guru Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Namane Danya Krishna Prampadaya Krishna Shtetana Krishna Oberman Devai Goberman Yataya Shri Jagadvishna Govindaya Namo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As I was reading the last section of the purport, I thought about children when they're walking behind someone and it's been a really rainy day. And you know how children are sometimes mischievous and they're just kicking the water with their little boots toward the person that's in front of them. So I'm thinking of Krishna in his most magnanimous form, walking behind his devotees and the wind blowing the dust from his feet to the dust of the devotees that he's walking behind. And how in that process, it mentions in the beginning of chapter 14, how you can purify the entire universe by this process. Then I thought about the topic of love and how, just like reading a translation, an individual person can read a translation and 15 or 20 people can interpret it, hopefully keeping the essence of it, but explaining it in a different way. Same way going with love. It is very difficult to explain love. And what to say when we're talking about the love of God. As a matter of fact, it would be a waste of time trying to understand it, because you're not going to completely. because in this material world, you're trying to look at it with material logic, and it does not work with the spirit soul, because in the material world, one is affected, the material body is affected by, what is it, birth, death, old age, and disease. But you can't relate that to the spiritual form or the spiritual body of the devotee, because it is spirit soul. It cannot be affected by birth, death, old age, and disease. And it also talks about how much the Lord loves his devotees. I don't even think we really understand, no matter how long we study the Vedic scriptures, and how long we try to understand relationships, that we'll ever understand how much the Lord loves us. He loves us more than we could possibly imagine. It's even beyond our own concept of understanding. The closest I've come to that understanding is thinking of a parent and a child. And hopefully, it's a healthy relationship between the parent and the child, because the typical parent would do anything for their son or their daughter. Anything. And not saying that that child is perfect, but there is just a bond between parent and child. So when you speak of that bond, think of an even greater bond between the Lord and his devotee. No, he knows that his devotees, his children, are not perfect, but he loves them irregardless and in spite of it. And it goes on further to explain how great that love is. And in the previous verse, it talked about, even though Brahma was born by the navel, or through the navel of the Lord, and even though, what to say of Lord Shiva, who is constantly meditating on the Lord, what to say of the Lord's wife, what to say of devotees, well, let's go beyond, back to devotees. Let's go to the very, very popular, the very special spirit souls, such as Shiva. And the point that I'm making is that besides the fact that these are very great devotees, the Lord loves his devotees even more than he loves, well, that doesn't come out quite right, but the Lord's love is greater for his pure devotee, as compared to Lord Brahma, to Lord Shiva, and even the Lord himself. He loves the devotees even more than he loves himself, just like the parent. The parent will put aside all of the conveniences of their own just to do what is necessary or for what the child needs. What to say of what the Lord does in the process of our coming to this material world, and the things that it may seem that he's overlooking, but in spite of that, he sees us and he knows who we are, and he still loves us. The point is, pure, unconditional love is what we get from the Lord. And we are at some point supposed to pass that on to other spirit souls. We're supposed to be so surrendered to the point that we are understanding the relationship of the Lord and how much he loves us, that we're supposed to share it and show it with the next person. We're supposed to see God in everyone. And we become more advanced when we can relate to each other with pure love instead of animosity, instead of comparing, trying to get the one-upsman, trying to look better than the next person, when we can just sincerely love others as the Lord loves ourselves, loves us, that's an advancement process. And initially in the beginning of chapter 14, it tells us the steps that are going to be taken in this chapter to show how potent and how important devotional service is. And in the first description of it in depth, it says, the Lord then proceeded to describe the superior process of devotional service, which destroys countless, this is how powerful it is. It destroys countless sinful reactions and produces many symptoms of spiritual happiness, such as the standing of the hairs on end. Now, it's not to say everyone is going to experience this, but it has been experienced. Pure devotion has the power to purify the heart. It enables one to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality. And because the devotee is very dear to the Lord and is always close, he is able to purify the entire universe. Because, as we said, the devotee is getting the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord who's following in his footsteps. And the other point that I wanted to make is that some of us have heard the Christian saying, if you're coming from, or you're familiar with someone who's coming from a Christian background, that the Lord's love was so strong that he gave his only son. Now, I don't know too many parents that are willing to give up their sons for the benefit of the universe, but it's talking about the various stages of love and the steps by which the Lord goes through in showing his love for the devotee. And speaking of a devotee, very pure devotee, it was also mentioned yesterday, and again, the lecture was very sweet from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. He was talking about Prahlad Maharaj and all the things that this sweet, sincere, pure devotee went through as a child. And Lord Nrisimhadev was furious. The Lord was extremely furious. Any time that the Lord's devotee is being harassed or is being put into danger or is being harmed, you want to see the wrath of a parent, you cannot match that with the wrath of the Lord. So in this process, the Lord is furious. He's going after Hiranyakasipu, and this pure devotee, Prahlad, is going up to the Lord in spite of all the anger. And as the Lord, how do you say, liberates Hiranyakasipu or tackles him, he asks Prahlad, what does he want? Or in such a way that, in a sense, the Lord is asking how he can serve Prahlad. And Prahlad is so humble that his only concern is that of his father. Now, that's love. That is pure devotee love. And sometimes we don't really notice the different degrees in which the Lord loves us. But I think if most of us thought back in our lifetime, anyone that's within the sound of my voice has got to have had a special time in their life where they realized that no one but the Lord was there to love them in a way that no one else could possibly do it. And let me just go over some points so that I'm not repeating it. Usually when I come in the morning, before class, I'll go over my notes. I'll go over them before I come here. So this morning, I just skip right through it and I just started singing. So bear with me. Another point of showing how simple and how pure the love is of the Lord and his devotee is an example that was given in Christianity. And you would think that you would have to come to the Lord with massive amounts of intelligence and riches and wealth. But there's a saying, there was a question that was asked, how easy would it be for a rich man to enter heaven? And the saying is, it would be a lot easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which tells you there that the Lord's not expecting anything from you. He wants to give to you. And it doesn't matter what it is that you do or do not have. Some of the most humble devotees have shown and expressed their love with the Lord through the scriptures. And sometimes when I'm going through these lectures, I like to use examples, and I like to use exact examples. So I'll use myself. And all of this is in the process of learning how to accept the love of God and how to be more in a position of giving to the Lord and being a devotee and surrendering. So I thought about myself, and I thought, over the past 10 years, I begin to wonder how much possible pain can one's material body go through. And when you're in a considerable amount of pain, sometimes you're depressed, and it's okay to say you're depressed. But the point is, you don't want to stay in that position. So my thinking was, my gosh, this is really extreme. What did I do in my previous life? Whoever it was, I wish I could go back and apologize because I'm really paying for it. And then I thought, and I looked around me and I saw other people that were in conditions that were a lot worse than mine. Some were mentally or physically incapacitated, and I had a second thought. And it's one that most of us should have. We should learn how to say, thank you, Lord Krishna. Instead of just complaining about our position in life or our lot in life, when we're in a mood of thankfulness, you're more inclined to give. And that's the same for a devotee. When a devotee is in a position where they're realizing how much love and affection the Lord has given them, when they really come to that level of understanding, you want to give something back to the Lord. You do. And in our positions, it is understood that when you want to gain the favor of someone, you serve them. So a devotee dovetails all of this affection in the service of the Lord. And the Lord, being who he is, will not be outdone. Another saying is, you take one step, the Lord takes two. You will never, ever be able to outdo Lord Krishna in giving love and giving to you. It just isn't in his nature. So you have to wonder, what is it that's keeping us from surrendering to the Lord? Because the bounties, the, not to even speak of the boons of what is given to the Lord's devotees, pure devotees, is unlimited. We can't even wrap our minds around the things that the Lord has in store for us. And the process is devotion, pure devotion, given in a mood of surrendered. You're surrendering. Everyone at some point is surrendering to someone or something, some corporation, some relationship, some country. So I can't think of any country or any corporation or any person that could benefit any of us the way in which the Lord benefits and gives back to us. When we give, he gives. And all that is being requested is that one surrender to the Lord, that you dovetail whatever it is you're doing, your services, dovetail it in the Lord's service, so that you too are benefiting. Because if you're serving the Lord, and if what you're doing is dovetailing your service to the Lord, it is almost ridiculously impossible for you not to realize the loving exchanges that come from the Lord. I think about all the times that I've all the time that I've been in the movement, and I think of myself as an example. I was given the instruction, outside of chanting and reading and having proper association, serving devotees. Now, everyone has a time frame in which they actually begin to realize and wrap their minds around the fact that the Lord is loving them back. With me, I think within the last, almost 18 months, all of a sudden, I feel like I'm overwhelmed with love. I'm just full of love. And I look back at all the things and the challenges that I've gone through, but I also look back and realize that in the process that I've learned how to serve others, how I've been very fortunate. And I'm sure most of us out there have been fortunate enough to be around senior devotees, where you're given the benefit to serve them. And the process over X amount of years is that you will begin to experience the love of God. I can only speak from experience. It's not that you don't notice the things that are around you that are going on in life. Things are going to go on in life. All of the things are not going to be perfect. But when you have the love of God, when you are experiencing having that dust of the lotus feet from the Lord, or of the Lord, you can be anywhere and you can be at peace regardless of what's going on outside the door. Not that we're oblivious to it. In ISKCON, sometimes we get the reputation that we just go around smiling and everything is la-di-da. No, we realize what's going on in the world, but you can have a little bit of heaven on earth when you have a really good relationship with the Lord. And that's another thing that's really special about Krishna consciousness. You understand that you can have a relationship with the Lord. Everyone has a different one. To what degree you receive things is based pretty much on your previous past life, your karma. So there's no comparisons. The other point that I would suggest to devotees that are listening is something that was suggested to me by another devotee. If you're having any difficulties in understanding how much you're being loved by the Lord or your relationship, start keeping a journal. Because unless you've lost all consciousness and you have an extremely cold heart and a cold disposition, the Lord has done something very special for you. He's shown you love. And as you're putting this journal together, it will come in handy when we're having challenging times in life. We can go back and look through the journal and look at the times that the Lord has done various things for you. When you go back and realize the loving exchanges that you've had with the Lord, it'll take you to your next challenge and the next one and the next one. And we have to have something in addition to the Association of Devotees to help us to understand what our real relationship is with the Lord. So I would suggest, just as a thought, we should start putting journals together because they're very strengthening. They also indicate our growth process. Because the other thing, too, the other point I want to make in the process of this slight rambling is that if you are doing devotional service, if you've been doing it for years and you're not noticing any difference, you're doing something wrong. And if you are doing or devotional service and there is no change in your consciousness over a period of time, then that doesn't necessarily make you a devotee. So just because we're doing devotional things, maybe keeping the temple up, maybe washing pots, the other indicator is that your consciousness should be changing. If your consciousness is changing, you're not necessarily a devotee. So there's a check and balance system that we've been given in the books that have been left by the acharyas. They are available in Vani and Vapu, spiritually and in the physical form. And I would suggest taking advantage of it, regardless of how long you've been practicing Krishna consciousness. You should be experiencing exchanges of love from the Lord. And as I said, if you're not experiencing it, you're doing something wrong. What do you do in that process? You find a devotee that's doing the right thing, and you inquire from them what it is you need to change or adjust. Because it doesn't matter how long you've been in, you can get a little child like Prahlad that comes in and understands how to be a pure devotee. So it has nothing to do with the length of time a person's been practicing Krishna consciousness. But if you're not experiencing the bliss that comes with pure devotional service or devotional service of the Lord or serving another devotee, then you need to talk to someone. You need to have better association. How do you pick the right person? You'll know within your heart. When we pray to the Lord sincerely, and we're not asking for anything materially, but when we're praying sincerely for guidance and direction, the Lord does answer us. So if you're looking for someone to be a mentor for, the Lord will provide that too. But the saddest thing is that we get this life form, this human form, and we don't utilize it to the fullest. Because you don't know what life form you'll get or what body you'll get in the next lifetime. So my suggestion is to take advantage of the human form that we have and to take to Krishna consciousness and to take to devotional service, because the benefits are unlimited. And again, as indicated, how powerful devotional service is, it can release you from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease, because you'll realize, as I said earlier, at that point, that you're not the material body, that you're spirit soul. So those stages have no impact on you whatsoever. But it also allows you, devotional service, when you're serving the Lord, it also allows you the loving exchanges that can take place, not only among devotees, but with the Lord. So I think that pretty much covers text 16. Anyone have any comments? Yes, Prabhu Narottam. Miss you. Thank you. You need a mic because I'm not going to be able to hear you.
That's okay. It's a reasonable question.
Yes.
You know, when I think about surrendering to Krishna and when I, talk it over with the Lord.
Yes.
There seems to be a sense of insecurity. And I'll give you two examples. One example, I was talking to Charu Prabhu and his wife, Mother Bhai Bhavi. Mm-hmm. The Prophet disciples, and they're in charge of the Festival of Colors. They've developed that. They have this beautiful temple and farm in Utah. Mm. So he's turning 70, and
he was looking for someone to take over that program. Mm-hmm. But he said he's been approaching like hundreds of young couples and younger devotees, you know. But the main fear that they have is insecurity. That they don't see how, you know, they'll be provided for. Now, it's in his example, it's kind of extreme because he has a multi-million-dollar business built into his preaching. Mm-hmm. The Festival of Colors, now it generates millions of dollars. And one afternoon at his temple, he'll raise $300,000 in profit. So what he's saying is that any devotee that came in there, he said initially he would train them for maybe 3 to 6 months to be able to do, you know, what's required. Mm-hmm. And he would pay them, say like $1,500 a month for a couple. He said, but after that, they can take as much money as they want. And he said, it's making millions of dollars. He said, but when he discusses it with younger devotees, they say, no, they don't feel any security in that. And they would rather finish a college education and then start in at an entry level. And he was saying, you know, if you do that, you know, he said, if you're serious about being Krishna conscious, you know, this is such a great opportunity because mm-hmm. you're constantly engaged in preaching. It's a beautiful temple. There's a farm. There's a congregation. There's a radio station. There's all these festivals. He was saying, and you literally come, you're literally being handed a multi-million dollar, you know, program. He said, but the devotees feel more secure just getting a college education than starting off at like $10 an hour and then working for 20 years up to the point where they can finally pay off their debts, maybe 30 years pay off their debts. You know, and then at that point, think about maybe preaching if they've got, you know, any energy left. So that's one example. Another example of this insecurity, and this has to do with very wealthy people, Vishwambar Prabhu, who come, you know, Mother Gopi Gita's father. So you might know his history. He's got a double PhD. He was a college student in, he comes from a Brahmin family in Gujarat. He went to college in Bombay. He finished a degree in medicine. He met Prabhupada there. Prabhupada preached to him. You know, he was attending some programs. And then he came to the United States and did a postgraduate degree in orthodontistry. And, you know, he was married. Him and his wife got initiated by Prabhupada. He ran very successful business with three different clinics, making millions of dollars. He was donating for Mayapur and Vrindavan hundreds and thousands of dollars and things. And then he became the president in Detroit. And now he's 67. And he gave all that up. He settled his wife in Vrindavan. She's happy there, living with her second daughter and her husband there. And he, with whatever he's able to manage now, he gave up the money, paid off his debts, whatever. He's got some money that he uses, but from that business, but not very much. He struggles with, like, you know, paying his bills and stuff. And but his... You know, he's chanting every day 38 rounds, and he reads for like 3 or 4 hours, and then he preaches just constantly, wonderful classes. But his entire family, you know, except for the devotees, you know, like his daughter and whatever, but the extended family, they think he's insane. That he was gave up, a million-dollar, multi-million-dollar orthodontistry business, you know, to put on saffron and to, you know, struggle and travel and preach. And I'll throw one more example in here. When I was in China, so we were cultivating a lot of young student, you know, college students, and so one in particular, I remember a young girl, she was a very nice devotee, and her parents became volatile, and, you know, they said that, you know, it's ridiculous to sit and chant for 2 hours when you could be studying. It's ridiculous, you know, to come to a temple and engage in some service when you could be making an income. And they literally threw her out of the house. And she ended up, in China, it's a kind of extreme situation with communism there, but she ended up living in a cardboard, you know, like homeless little, you know, I want to compare it to like a doghouse. You know, just to be able to go on with their devotional life. So, you know, when we talk about surrendering to Krishna and experiencing the bliss, I mean, when you talk to advanced devotees, you know, you talk to Prabhupada, Prabhupada basically went through bankruptcy. His wife, you know, was, you know, very negative. And, you know, the whole situation around him, you know, more or less collapsed materially. But we see in these devotees, you know, like you said, there's that bliss, there's that happiness. But for, you know, the person who's not experiencing that bliss, when they see this, they think it's just absurd. It's totally insecure. You know, there's no, in other words, the devotees who are here, you know, there's no health insurance for them. There's nothing for them. If you can't do your service, you know, there's not like a retirement fund or something like that. You know, you're just on your own. So can you kind of put some weight into what you're saying here and give us some practical ideas about surrendering, please?
Those are some very good points. You know, starting with a devotee in Utah that has an established business and he would train someone. You must think about the world in which we're living right now. It's Kali Yuga. People are not so used to seeing. I don't know if they think it's a fluke that this devotee was able to amass a fortune with the Festival of Colors, but especially the younger group that's coming up right now. Some of them have been disillusioned for various reasons, but as far as understanding that you can have happiness without having material attachments, it takes a while, even for the average person that's not a young adult, to realize that. And you have to experience it with myself, using myself as an example and others. You could not have told me that living on half the income that I was used to living on would make me happy, but it's something that you have to experience personally for yourself. You can see it, but you have to have enough faith in someone, and that someone in every situation should ultimately lead to the Lord. You have to have enough faith to surrender and know that the Lord will provide, even to the point where, yes, there are those, there is no retirement package in NISCON yet. I see on two hands, I see people that are suffering because of the lack of benefits. And then on the other hand, I see people that are making it right along. They've got these connections where they know someone that knows someone that's able to give them whatever services they need. What does that tell you? In my mind's eye, not to be blinded by anything, but it has a lot to do with having faith. You have to have an extreme amount of faith, even to the point of getting up every day. What to say of, you know, these young people that are given the opportunity to take over a business. They've got to have the faith, and not just in an individual, but they have to have a higher faith to know that something will come of it, and if not, whatever happens is under the complete control of a supreme power, and they'll get through it. Now, that's what I would think in the situation with the Utah incident and with Prabhu that's gone, and he's gotten the degrees and he's lived his life and he's secured his wife. And now he's, you know, he's making it, you know, he's having challenges still. But the point is, how much faith does he have that the Lord will get him through anything that he's going through right now? And from what I know of this particular individual, I think his faith is strong enough that even if he does not come up or if he does not have something in hand, he is in the Association of Devotees, or he has such strong faith that it's gotten him this far, and that I would think he would be confident enough to know that no matter what happened, as long as he does, as long as he surrenders to the Lord, as long as he engages himself in the Lord's service, one should be able to come to know that the Lord will provide. The Lord provides even for, it's so simple. I don't mean it sound, make it so simple, but, you know, the birds, the animals have no jobs, but yet and still they eat, they have a place to sleep, they're provided for. And if we could just have that faith, and sometimes it's described as faith the size of a mustard seed, if we could just have that, the Lord could work with us and would do amazing things. You've seen in history where the Lord has taken people that have had the very least, what is it, in the biblical times, you know, a loaf of bread was maximized to the point, nectar was given to a crowd and other edible substances. But it was based on having enough faith in the Lord to know that the Lord would provide. The other instance And see, I'm just thinking of, these are just my thoughts. And I don't mean to be naive, but there was, what was the other,
the parents. See, more like in.
Oh, that, now that.
Vishwan Mahaprabhu's example, I would say, you know, yes, he's a pure devotee, he's surrendered to Krishna. But the extended family.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. They have no, because they don't have the faith that he has, they don't understand. And they probably never took the time to understand what he was doing and what the family, his family of devotees were doing. They may never understand. But he knows. So, you know, there's some people that will accept, that will understand, that will take to Krishna consciousness. Piece of cake. And there's some people that will not. And unfortunately, those some people are usually our family members. Because it takes a very unique person to stand out from the crowd and to follow where very few people go. And very few people follow the paths of the Lord, even though down through history, there have been challenges with people that do follow the path of the Lord. They do succeed. They do succeed. And the young girl, the family, I would have to say that falls within a similar category of Vishwambar. The parents have probably not taken the time to understand what the daughter's doing, and if she's not doing what they're doing, then she's a complete failure. That's very closed-minded, and that's very unfortunate, you know, that she has to come to the point where she is out of her home and she's barely making it just to serve the Lord. But in order to serve the Lord through time, down through time, people have had challenges. People have had to go through challenges just to serve the Lord, just to honor him and just to acknowledge him. This is nothing new, but it becomes, it looks bad in this age because this is a very, it's not a very giving age. It's not a very loving age. It's in a sense, it's a dark age, for those that are, attempting to be in the mode of goodness. It is a challenge, but the fortunate part and the one main thing to remember for those, that are listening or that are in a situation like this is to remember that once you surrender to the Lord and you serve him, you are never, ever alone. Even though it looks like things are not going to get good, you'll have your challenges. It won't be perfect. But the Lord takes care of his own. In the scriptures, it is written, he maintains what you have and he carries what you lack. And I have seen that personally. But when a person is in the throngs of going through this, it's difficult. It is very difficult to even understand. I don't know if that answered anything, but that's my thought.
Thank you. It's really interesting, and thank you. Very edifying. I really appreciate it.
The individual is having problems sharing the business with someone, you know.
Well, you know, it's all tied to that. It's tied to preaching, and you know, they have a successful restaurant, and you know, all these things. But it means really, you know, taking up a full Krishna conscious lifestyle. You know, you're literally,
serious,
you know,
commitment.
Yeah, you're literally committing, you know, your life to Prabhupada, to the deities, to, you know, spreading Krishna consciousness. And he said he's been, for the last 2 years, he's been looking for some couple to take up that responsibility. He said, but the main discussion is that a lack of security within that. But he's saying, you know, what security is there in going out, you know, finishing your college education and working for, you know, minimum, you know,
there is none.
Entry level salary, and there is none. Yeah, so that's the, I think that's the, we need to broadcast that. You know, these examples of, it's so easy to see a black spot on a white, you know, cloth. You know, we have like examples like Jai Pataka Maharaj or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and, you know, Giriraj Maharaj, Dhamal Krishna Goswami, you know, on and on and on. Now at the end of the month, His Holiness Bhakti True Maharaj is coming here, you know. But and even beyond that, we have so many wonderful married couples and, you know, I think that we really need to focus that more on, you know, the successes. There are so much success in this movement, you know, rather than getting caught up in, like, what was the word you used? Disillusioned or whatever it was. You said, like, young people, line. Yeah, they become disillusioned, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I do. And you know what? It all boils down to communicating. You're fortunate to be able to have a position where you can communicate and talk about what's going on for you in Krishna consciousness. Anyone that gives a lecture or gives class has that opportunity. But then again, if you look a little bit further, anyone that is a devotee has the opportunity to share their experiences. I think there needs to be more experience sharing. I think there does, where, you know, people come together and however, whatever frequency there is, that they talk about, you know, what challenges they went through, and then they talk about the good things that are happening, because most people don't know, because most people don't talk about it. You're so busy living your life, you don't have time to share. But I can't help but share, because there's so many nice things that are happening, and I don't think we can overdo it as far as letting other people know the good things and the wonderful things that Krishna has done for us and how we've gotten through so many things. We need to talk about it. It would be great if we had maybe a monthly session where devotees that are like-minded or wanted to be like-minded came together and discussed their challenges, and then also discuss how they rose above different situations and how things turn themselves around, and to give others hope. Because I think most people don't know, because we're so busy coming through here and, you know, enjoying the association of, you know, just meeting people and meeting each other and seeing each other once a week, and we're having darshan of the deities. We don't have an opportunity to talk about what's going on in our lives, and we need to share more of that. We do. Yes, Prabhu.
You know, one of the ladies here, I've known her for a couple of years. She got initiated not too long ago. Her name's Mother Donna Cayley. So she wrote this book. She's a disciple of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Hmm. And she wrote this book called Up the Ladder, and it's Buddhism, Bikram, and Bhakti. And I've been reading, she gave me the book as a gift when she was here last, and I've been reading the book, and she's talking about, you know, her pre-devotional life and leading up and going with the things she went through, and, you know, it's filled with appreciation of those who helped her and, you know, kind of fanned the spark within her to advance spiritually up to the point of taking up devotional service. But one of the things that just flooring me in the first few chapters is the difficulties that she went through, you know, that's something that nobody in the material world really talks about.
Yes.
You know, see, it's all hunky dory, you know, college, get a good job, and you know, everything's done, you know, like that. And it's all television, you know, everybody's smiling and, you know, and everybody's happy, you know. But the reality of the situation is totally different. But there's somehow this intoxicated, you know, this euphoria that keeps people, you know, even though they're going through hell, you know. They seem to, you know, that's normal or whatever. Nobody talks about it.
Yes.
You know, the material world is horrible.
That's why I say we all have books in us. We all, and when I say books, I mean experiences. And they're good experiences, because if it got you to this point, and I hope that this point is where you're developing your love of the Lord and you're developing a relationship with Him, if it's gotten you to this point, then we need to talk about it and share it with those that are just coming up or those that have been around for a while and they're having challenges. We need to share it, and we need to talk about it so that we can uplift them and let them know there is hope. It won't be perfect. Everything is not always perfect, but there is a big light at the end of the tunnel. There really is. And I think I remember the thing that really put me off was coming into Krishna consciousness, and a particular devotee was having a challenge, and the only person that you heard talking about their life was this devotee that was having a challenge. So it was very depressing until Krishna arranged that I was around people that, through the challenges they had, they still rose, or they rose above it. They were rising above the situation. And there's so many devotees that are unspoken, unheard of, that have gone through so many different situations that we need to talk about, so that we'll know that all is not lost, and that we are not in a hopeless situation, that there is hope, that there is potential for happiness. We need to talk. Who is this? Who is this? Entertainment. Her famous line was, "Can we talk?" Yeah, can we talk? Can we talk about it? I think that would be great if we could talk. And I think what's important is that it be positive. I mean, yes, talk about the challenges, but give some uplifting moments and some uplifting katha and conversation. Yes, yes, Prabhu.
You know, something I've been doing recently is I've been on YouTube, and I've been watching, like, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's films and my Guru Maharaj and everything. But something I'm doing a lot is I'm listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures and films. Oh, my God. It's just amazing. Prabhupada is so uplifting. You listen to him speak for like 20 minutes, you feel just so enthused. It's an incredible experience to listen to his lectures, and they're like just freely available right on your phone. You know?
Which ones are you going into? Because there's so many.
I just put in Srila Prabhupada, and then it says Srila Prabhupada chanting japa, Srila Prabhupada lectures, Srila Prabhupada memories, you know? And then I listened to everything, but I clicked on the lectures.
Okay.
And then some devotees, they've even, like, refined the recordings so that the recording is really clear.
Yes.
And then I just stream it through my car while I'm driving, and it's just phenomenal, you know? I mean, I am just so excited about Prabhupada, you know, from listening to those lectures. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I can't say it enough.
That tells you how pure it is, that after all this time you can listen and you can still say it's amazing. And I'm hearing more and more young devotees talk about sharing Srila Prabhupada lectures. I mean, some of them just go online and they listen to it together, and they amaze me. And now that you're mentioning it, you know, and we all have the free time to do it. I mean, you can do a little bit now and then a little bit later, but
you're, like when you're ironing or, you know, all the stuff, you know, it's kind of, you know, blasé. You know, you just throw one of those lectures on, you come away from
exactly.
it, you're like a different person.
Exactly, exactly. And that too is communication. More communication, more sharing, and more growth in the process. And all of us have something, a little bit or a lot to give. So thank you so much for even reminding us that, I mean, that it's there. I mean, Srila Prabhupada, we are so blessed to have the technology to just be able to tap in to the internet and listen to Srila Prabhupada.
You know, and something one of my friends just sent me on Facebook is the trailer for the new Prabhupada movie that's coming out in IMAX theaters.
When is it coming out?
Oh, it's I can't remember the date now. It's but if you put in trailer, you put in Srila Prabhupada trailer for IMAX, it's this film that Yadubar Prabhu and his wife, Mother Vishaka, and I know Mother Nitya Tripta, there's a whole team that have been working on this film. And it's been released in IMAX theaters across the country. Mm. And the trailer is just fantastic. I mean, just the trailer makes you so excited about, you know, following Prabhupada and, you know, embracing Krishna consciousness.
Really? That sounds like it may be a Sunday night movie or a weekend movie that we need to have here at the temple. You know, just a group of us just discovering or just listening or looking at these things. So it's coming to the movie soon, though.
Yeah, it'll be in the movie theaters.
Okay, you heard it here. It's coming through IMAX Theater. The Srila Prabhupada movie is coming very soon. So, of course, I would encourage devotees to definitely go see it. But I also encourage devotees to communicate more, to share more, to talk amongst yourselves, to not walk past each other as though you don't see each other. We're one big family, and there's so much information that we all have collectively that we should be sharing that will solidify our relationship with others and with the Lord. I encourage that wholeheartedly. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I missed all these comments. Please don't stay away so long.
Thank you.
Prabhu, any other comments? Otherwise, we'll end at this point. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees.
Mother Antaryami Ki Jai. Thanks for coming.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.